Please turn in the English Bibles to page 112, Numbers chapter 17, and we will begin reading that portion in just a moment. What Thanksgiving misses as far as decorations, I mean, some of you went from Halloween right to Christmas. Who did that? Who went from decorating Halloween and then straight to Christmas? Anybody? Anybody willing to admit your Christmas decorations are up already? We've got a few. Okay. Who sent out their Christmas cards already? We have any Christmas cards out already? Okay, they're coming. They're coming. Well, but what Thanksgiving misses out on relative to decorations, it more than makes up on when it comes to gratitude and the place that gratitude has in our culture. There's now a whole industry of studies that have to do with gratitude and thankfulness. And one author is Amy Marin. She's a psychotherapist, a licensed clinical social worker in New England, and she has 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude that will motivate you the whole year around. Now, this is not someone who just, oh, I think I'll talk about Thanksgiving. Amy Marin was someone who experienced the loss of her mother out of nowhere. Her mother was maybe 50, 51. She died, and then literally 3 years later, they went to an event and came home, and her husband of 28 years old, he died. Again, out of nowhere. And then just 3 years after that, his mother passed. It was crazy. And so what she ended up doing and trying to reflect and how to process, how do you face hard things, she wrote this article that ended up going viral, ended up turning into a TED Talk, one of their top 30 of all talks, 13 things mentally strong people don't do. You may have even read this article. If not, I urge you to read it. It's quite helpful. 13 things mentally strong people don't do. Well, she also has completed this study where she says there's 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. The first is gratitude opens doors to more relationships. Now, this might surprise you, but people are more inclined to want to be in relationship with you if you express gratitude. A simple thank you, if someone opens a door for you, you write a thank you note, people are more inclined to be in a relationship with you. So, you need friends? Start showing thanks. Actually, regardless of the outcome, giving thanks to other people is a great way to honor and respect them. The second that she concluded from a number of different studies is that gratitude improves physical health. That grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people, according to a study in one journal. And not surprisingly, grateful people tend to take care of themselves. They'll exercise more, they'll watch what they eat. So being grateful could actually help physically. Anybody interested in that? It can also improve your psychological health. It greatly reduces toxic emotions. I'm not sure how they measure toxic emotions, but it reduces people's envy and resentment and frustration and regret. There's multiple studies that deal with gratitude and well-being. And this one doctor, Dr. Emmons, his research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. So gratitude can actually improve your psychological health. Is there anybody else's psychological health you'd like to see improve? Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. I think this is very, very appropriate for Thanksgiving dinner with families, right? This could be, it's sort of ironic that when we're expressing gratitude at Thanksgiving, some of those gatherings can be downright aggressive and not quite empathetic. But grateful people are likely to behave in a pro-social manner even if others behave less kind. And they're also less likely to retaliate. You don't want to be someone who retaliates, do you? It may seem fun in your thought before you do it, but once it happens, there's nothing good about that. Grateful people sleep better. They sleep better. Again, studies show that if you'll spend 15 minutes saying thank you for what happened during your day, you will actually sleep more quickly and more soundly. If the person next to you is really grateful, just wake them up right now. There's also studies that show that gratitude enhances self-esteem, and this is particularly important when it comes to social media. If you're grateful for what God is doing in your life or just things that are happening in your life, you're less likely to be envious or jealous when you see someone else heading to Hawaii for Thanksgiving vacation or anything else that's going on in their life, because you're grateful for what you have, and it pushes out that rush of envy and resentment that can come from comparisons. And then, again, you'd think this from the person who wrote the 13 things that mentally strong people don't do. Gratitude actually increases your mental strength, your ability to overcome trauma. There was one particular study in 2006 that found Vietnam War veterans with a higher level of gratitude experienced lower levels of post-traumatic stress syndrome. They found the same thing in an earlier study after the terrorist attacks on September 11th, that people who expressed gratitude were able to move through the trauma and have greater resilience. Now, you hear an attitude of gratitude, and on the one hand, you think, oh, that's just a short little saying, but throughout the scriptures, repeatedly, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. You can't, and it's not just a New Testament thing. All throughout the Psalms in the Old Testament, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. And really, the scripture gives us just a little bit of an edge on this gratitude industry. And I think it's fantastic that we're hearing from left and right, express gratitude, be grateful. But what the scripture adds is what's missing. It tells us whom we give thanks to. See, when something good happens that's out of your control, when you come to a screeching stop and the person behind you doesn't hit you, you could get out of your car and say, oh, thanks so much for not hitting me. But really, your heart is inclined to go to someplace else. When a disaster is averted, and to whom do you give thanks? Ravi Zacharias gave some lectures at Harvard in the early 90s, and one of the greatest points of evidence that he has found that demands that we worship God is that when we want to give thanks, there needs to be someone who we say thank you to. On Thursday, to whom will you give thanks? When you're done thanking the people around you and the people who have hosted you and the people who have provided the great food, to whom do you give thanks? Well, the Bible makes it crystal clear. It's to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's to the Lord who has given his Son for our salvation. It's the Lord who has gathered us in the body of Christ. So you want to ask yourself, am I giving thanks to the Lord? Am I responding to this command that goes throughout Scripture, give thanks to the Lord? And if not, would you read that bottom line of the slide with me? How can we not give thanks to the Lord? Let's say that one more time. How can we not give thanks to the Lord? In Numbers chapter 17, We read of God engaging the people of Israel who really did have a gratitude problem. They knew to whom they should give thanks, but they didn't. And instead of giving thanks, they complained over and over and over again. And then they went after Moses and Aaron, and we've seen this. It gets really ugly. So God, in his mercy, in desiring to help the Israelites develop a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, he steps in and acts. Chapter 17, verse 1, we read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staves from them, one from the leader of each of the ancestral tribes. Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place them in the tent of meeting in front of the Ark of the Covenant law where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites.'" So Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders, gave them 12 staffs, one for every leader in each of the ancestral tribes, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the covenant law. The next day, Moses entered the tent and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded and produced almonds. We thank God that he communicates, and he communicates in amazing ways. God takes the initiative to say, we've got to deal with this complaining nature of the people of Israel. We've got to deal with it. So everybody give me their staff. Now, what I am curious about is, were all the staffs, or particularly Aaron's staff, was it originally from an almond tree? Or did it just sprout almonds out of God's imagination and his heart? Let's assume that it was an almond tree. Now, one thing you will never see on an almond tree that is budding is what? Ripe almonds. It doesn't work that way. But overnight, God said, I want to make it clear to everybody. I'm going to communicate to you who it is who's going to be serving me. It's going to be Aaron, and that staff has buds, leaves, and it is a piece of dead wood, and ripe almonds. And it didn't spoil. It stayed with the Ark of the Covenant from there on. God communicates. We want to give thanks to the Lord because he's a God who communicates with us. Communicates through his word. He communicates through his spirit. He communicates through others. He communicates supernaturally. Our circumstances, God can communicate through all of these things. One thing, though, I want to urge you, as you're looking, you're paying attention, as you're listening to God communicating, that you weigh everything against his word. Because many of us have very creative imaginations. And if you've not done it, you're probably going to do it at some point in your life. You're going to say, I really believe the Lord is telling me to, and whatever that may be, it may be entirely inconsistent with his word. But God is so good, he just doesn't leave us to our imaginations to understand what he's trying to communicate with us. He's given us the scripture. And it is amazing how applicable you will find your normal reading of the scripture for your daily life. I mean, I will never forget a friend of mine coming to me and saying, Greg, you know, I really believe that I really feel like I'm hearing God's voice clearly, and I hear him telling me that I'm supposed to divorce my wife, and I don't think I'm supposed to marry her, but I'm supposed to have my associate move in with me. Okay. Word of the Lord or not? This could almost be a game, except it was too serious. Was that the word of the Lord that my friend was hearing? No, it wasn't. Now, that one's easy because it's very clear. Another one. Greg, I and these aren't just my friends. I think you have some friends like this too. Greg, I think God's calling me to leave my job and sell my house, and he's calling me to be a missionary. Greg, do you know where Irian Jaya is? That's where I believe God is calling me to be a missionary. Okay. How's your wife feel about that? She's not hearing that from God. Okay. How about your children? It doesn't matter what they... Word of the Lord or not? Again, our role is not to judge him, but the scripture speaks a lot about caring for your family. And the assumption in God speaking to us and giving thanks to him for communicating with us is that what he says to us personally will coincide with what he says in his word. It will coincide with what he says in his word. So we can be grateful and we don't have to be afraid of listening to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. The Holy Spirit does speak today. And he always speaks consistently with his word. So how can we not give thanks to God? Because he listens to us, and because he speaks to us, he listens to us too. But so because he speaks, listen for his voice. Pay attention. Pay attention. Paul was telling me yesterday in the hospital, he wasn't quite sure why the surgery couldn't be done in one procedure. That needed to be two. And then he said, you know, I have a feeling that God's got something for me here in the hospital, that we have to wait in the hospital for 3 days. So I'm just going to wait and see what he's got. And then he said, yeah, another doctor came in, and he said, I remember you from 3 years ago from your earlier surgery. And he remembered him because he'd had a pulmonary embolism, sort of threatened his life. But then he said, but I also remembered you because there was something about you. You, even though your life was in danger, you were grateful. And that really made an impact on me. So guess who Paul's spending time with over these next couple days? This same doctor. Listen, pay attention. Is God saying something to you? The other great thing that we can thank God for is that he commissions. He gives us important things for us to do. We're told that Moses takes Aaron's staff and puts it in front of the covenant, and everybody realizes, uh-oh, we better not complain against Aaron anymore. And then they say, oh no, we're all going to die. We're lost. We're all lost. Anybody that comes near the tabernacle of the Lord will die. Are we all going to die? And then the Lord said to Aaron, your sons and your family are to bear the responsibility for offenses connected with the sanctuary, and you and your sons alone are to bear the responsibility for the offenses connected with the priesthood. Bring your fellow Levites from your ancestral tribe to join you and assist you when you and your sons minister before the tent of the covenant of law. See, they were the ones that were supposed to bring the offerings. Remember, that was the problem we read about last week. We had other people saying, well, we want to be the ones who serve God in this particular way. And the Lord said, isn't it enough for you that you get to help with the worship? That it's just Aaron's family who's going to offer the sacrifices? Don't be envious like that. Be grateful. Now, in the same way, every one of us, we read in the New Testament, is a part of the priesthood of believers. Every one of us has callings and gifting to serve the Lord, but it's not going to look the same way. Every one of us don't do the same things. We read in Ephesians that we are each God's workmanship, God's masterpiece, God's poem, God's creative manifestation, that we would do the good works that he's prepared for each one of us. Each one of us has a calling from God, and it's usually going to be the coalescence of your passions, your abilities, and then your impact. Picture three circles in that sweet spot right in the middle, will be your passions, your abilities, and where you actually make an impact for the kingdom of God. That's your sense of calling, and God will make that clear to you, and it'll happen within the church. It'll happen in your relationship to God through the scripture. It'll happen in fellowship with others. See, there are so many things. I sometimes look at our directory, and I can see you here today in front of me, and I'm amazed by the gifting that's just in this room. There's a whole lot of people who aren't even here today. But the gifting that's in this room, there's so much that you can do. And some of you are making yourselves and your spouses and your families crazy because you're actually trying to do everything that you can do. And I want you to ask God, it's the same question I'm asking him, not just what can you do, but what must you do? What must you do to fulfill God's call on your life? You want to ask him, Lord, I know I can do this, I can do this, I can volunteer for the Kids Quest. We need someone. Okay, I can do that. I can serve as a deacon. I can run the Hunger Project. I can decorate the church. I can go tutor in my local elementary school. I can offer young moms childcare. I can help someone build a... There's a lot that you can do. But what must you do? Ask God, Lord, what is it that you're commissioning me to do? And again, some people around you are going to be able to affirm that in your life. If I told you, you know, I feel that I absolutely must call up Steve Kerr and ask for a tryout for the Golden State Warriors. Don't you see it in me? Rosmik thinks so. We'll work with him later. No. But it may be that one of you says, you know what, Bodvilly? You know what? The basketball team at my daughter's school needs a parent volunteer. And I've always loved basketball. And actually, I love teaching kids. You know what? I think that's what I must do. I must change my schedule so I can coach the girls' team at my daughter's school. What must you do to express God's work in you and through you? He commissions us, so serve him confidently. Serve him confidently. He told the tribe of Levi, you're responsible for this, so do it. No one else is going to do it. One of the most difficult questions that someone had asked me once was, Greg, there's a lot that you can do, but what's something that only you can do? And as a pastor, I'll tell you, one of the things that was most difficult was to realize that I'm the only father that my children have. I was so busy running around, taking care of other people, and Sosie was gracious, but she made it clear that I was the only father, and it was when Mark and Ani were young, that Mark and Ani have. What is that in your life? What is it that only you can do? God is commissioning you to do that, so serve him with confidence. Know that you may feel inadequate, you may feel you can't do it, but if God's in it, you will have the resources that you need to fulfill God's call in your life. Finally, how can we but give thanks to the Lord? Because he gives us himself. In chapter 18, 8 through 19, God makes it really clear to the Levites, the children of Aaron, that he's going to provide for their needs through the offerings. They were going to be the ones who received all the excess of the offerings that were given by the people of Israel in their worship to God. And he tells them that you don't get property. See, every other tribe, as the children of Israel enter the land of Israel, every one of them except the Levites get property. Children of Dan, Asher, they're going to be in the north. Simeon's down on the south side. Reuben, he and Manasseh, they're going to be over here. And every tribe gets a plot of land, and that land lasts through all generations. God says it's all, that's going to be passed on from family to family to family. And the Levites are like, what do we get? What do we get? I want to read to you verse 20 of chapter 18. The Lord said to Aaron, "You will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share, your inheritance among the Israelites." You don't get any land. You get me. See, some of us get caught up in the New Testament age with God's blessings, and we think that it's just the physical blessings that God gives, whether it be children, whether it be a nice house or a nice job. We think, oh, those are the evidences of God's blessings on our lives. But that's not the case. Yes, those are blessings, but that's not the big deal. See, in the New Testament, we see that what's best of God's blessing is what's to come. And God makes it really clear in the New Testament that we get him. Don't look for the promised land somewhere over in the Middle East, okay? God's promised land is coming. It's coming. The promise that we have is that we will be with Christ forever. So which would you prefer? Some property or God? I think God. The Lord said to Aaron, "You will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have a share among them. I am your share. I am your share. I am your share." Beyond what you're going to thank God for on Thanksgiving, will you thank him for himself? See, it's God that you get. It's God that I get. It's a relationship with him. Yes, thank him for your bank book. Thank him for your portfolio. But we all know that is going to end. And the best is yet to come. We start now enjoying God, because guess what we're going to get to do for all eternity? Enjoy him. We are going to be in his presence. Now, should we answer that question? How can we not give thanks to the Lord? Only if you shut your eyes and look the other way. And I urge you, don't do that. And don't use this as something to beat up on somebody else who's not giving thanks to God. They're just being thankful. Don't beat up on them. It's great that they're thankful. They're going to live more healthy lives. You're going to have much better relationships with people who are grateful. How about we prove to be examples to a culture that doesn't know whom they are to thank? How about we walk out today saying, okay, I'm to give thanks to God because he communicates. I'm to give thanks to God because he commissions. I'm going to give thanks to God because he gives me himself. How can I but thank God? And be the example so your relationships, people you're in relationship with, say, you know what, I notice you're not just thankful, but that you know who to thank. You know the one we're supposed to thank. There's something in our hearts to give thanks. There's something in us that drives us to give thanks. So many just don't know whom it is that they're supposed to thank. How about we become that example for them? Please stand and receive the benediction. Yefimah merder Jesus Christos ishnorka, horas zosera, yefsur pogvuin harataksutuna, mer amin hedala. And now may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, may he himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you this week as you give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Go in peace.